as we look tonight at 3 John verses 1 through 14, living in discernment. This is December the 1st. Where's the time going, folks? Hey, Christmas is just a couple of weeks away. Oh, Lord, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Wow, it's coming on us. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Hey, this is the 27th of Kislev, 5782 of the Hebrew calendar tonight. And so I thank God. What do you, you know what? Who do you listen to for advice tonight? And who influences your health? I thank God here tonight as we look and realize how truly blessed that we are here living in discernment. We're looking at the qualities of things that cannot wait. They cannot wait, amen. Here in 3 John, as we deal with the time frame of the writing of these, of the instructions and warnings that he gives us, tonight he's talking to the Christian. Now listen, this is your part. This is an urgent aspect of the believer's walk with Christ. I'm going to be saying that again like the old-fashioned preachers that would preach the hellfire and brimstone down. Because when they repeat something, it's very important, amen. And so as I repeat it tonight in my study, I hope and pray you catch on to it, that here is something that there's an urgency that is involved. And I thank God as we begin to look and realize that there's some, these are brief letters that are written with a sense of urgency, amen. Each one of those letters, amen, 2 John, 3 John, amen, Philemon, when I get to it, Jude, every one of them had a sense of urgency, each focusing on the important quality that Christians need to apply to their lives, amen, an urgent aspect of the believer's walk with Christ, amen. And so I thank God as we look at the urgency and the fundamental belief of the Christian faith tonight, hallelujah. I'm glad that each and every one of us, as we look at these, I kind of like want to paraphrase George Strait, because George Strait said one time, you ain't loving if you ain't living. Well, the Christian life, the way God intended you to do it, amen. And so I thank God, if you ain't loving, you ain't living the Christian life the way God intended you to. I added to it, but I paraphrased a George Strait song, Praise God, because that's exactly what ought to be in our lives, amen. Every one of us, praise God, the urgency that we learn from 3 John tonight, and it talks about the urgent aspect of the believer's walk, how that you choose your influences, how that you choose your influence, amen. I've preached often on the subject of leadership and how that we can approach the task of being a positive influence on those that that we lead. Parents, they influence their children. School teachers and coaches, they influence the pupils and the students that are there, amen. Why, it's sad to say, and I hate it, but these movie stars influence our families, amen. These athletes, they influence our families. They get on there and they try to sell things, amen, and they're an influence, but are they a positive influence? And so John MacArthur has said that all leadership seeks to accomplish one goal, influence. And so I thank God when you're in the house of God, the Holy Spirit wants to influence you in the ways of God, that you would follow the path of the old path of the Word, amen. And I thank God that the Holy Spirit is the greatest influence in our lives, amen. We can positively influence others, and we need to make sure that we're influencing ourselves, hallelujah. But I thank God as we look and realize that Solomon said, he said, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, according to the King James. He goes on in Proverbs 22, verse 25. He says, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Man, can you imagine? What is he talking about here? What is Solomon's wisdom trying to tell us? He's saying, be careful. Be careful who you let get close to you, because people close to you have influence. They can lead you in the right direction, or they can lead you to the jailhouse. They can lead you to prison, because whoever you hang out around, that's who you become. And you know what? Whoever your children are around and whoever they're being influenced by, if they're a bad influence or if they're a good influence, you better know what's going on in their life. You know that a significant factor in determining whether or not a person becomes overweight is whether or not, listen, that person's friends are overweight. Because whatever bad habits of eating habits that you hang out with somebody else, maybe they are a drinker. You're going to be a drinker. Man, you want to say, man, they a worshiper. Maybe we'll be a worshiper, praise God. Boy, but I'm going to tell you, influence is something that happens. And that's because people have a tendency to imitate the unhealthy eating habits of their friends, if that's the case. And now I'm saying that you should never be friends with a person who needs to lose weight. No, 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 of course not. Or else no one would be your friend. I'm saying that we need to decide who and how much and to what extent we allow ourselves to be influenced by others. And here we have the great playbook of all times, the Word of God. Now, every one of us, as we look tonight, we remember Dr. Dorothy Law Note's essay on children live what they learn. And I thank God they repeat the entire thing, but it begins by saying, hey, if children live with criticism, they learn to condemn. If children live with hostility, they learn to fight. If children live with fear, they learn to be apprehensive. She said, if children live with pity, they learn to feel sorry for themselves. And if children live with ridicule, they learn to feel shy. You know, it was written as a warning to parents to be careful how you influence your children. But the flip side of it is that believers need to take a stand for themselves and say, I have decided that I will unlearn what I was taught. You know, and as much as I know that parents, have mistakes like everyone else, amen. But may we continue to have an influence that is positive on every one of our children and those that are around us, amen. That first of all, we're going to choose a better influence. And so tonight, let that begin by listening not to me, but to the Word of God, because 3 John will give us this from the message of the study tonight. You know, there are basically three leaders who are seen tonight in our thing, amen. And so one as those two godly men, and there's one troublemaker. First of all, one of the first ones we see is Gaius. He's talked about as a beloved four different times in Scripture in verses 1 through 8. Then the other good one that were godly men was Demetrius, amen. In verse 12, he had godliness and he had truth about him. And so they always say that there's something that's rotten to the core, amen, sometimes. But I know right in the middle was Demetrius. And he's in verse 12. He was the bad leader out of these three men that I'm talking about tonight. Three leaders were seen in 3 John. They were two godly men, and there were one that was a troublemaker. Demetrius was good. Gaius was good. But Diotrephes, he was rotten to the core. He was rotten to the core, man. He was trouble. And so he was conflict-ridden. You know, every one of us, as we look and realize, there are two ways that each and every one of us can be influenced today. And so as we look at this and begin to realize that, first of all, you can be influenced inadvertently. Maybe you could call it influence by osmosis, where you just pick up the habits that everyone else around you has. And that's what inadvertently means. Somebody is really, really influencing you inadvertently. And so it's just one of those things that happens, you know. But you talk, you know, like if I was to go in up north up somewheres and it wouldn't be long, they say, hey, what part of the South are you from? Because they know I'm a Southerner. I talk like a Southerner, you know. And so I remember my wife, when I married her 32 years ago, 33, I was with her because I dated for a year. Remember, if you're getting married, you need to date somebody for four seasons. Go through all four seasons before you marry them and know how they are in the spring, summer, winter, and the fall. And so I thank God. But anyway, I dated her for a year, amen. And, you know, back when I started dating her, man, she still had some of that island talk, you know, from Hawaii, you know, that Filipino Hawaiian talk. They got this island talk. You know, you got to listen real quickly. You can understand it, but you got to listen real good. You know, man, she had a little bit of that going on. But boy, it wasn't long when she started hanging out more with me. Hey, I influenced her in a bad way. I don't think her folks can understand her now because she talks so Southern and she's a Filipino Hawaiian. Hallelujah. You say, yeah, are you proud of that? No. No, maybe she should have hung out with somebody that could at least speak English a little bit better than me. But, you know, I thank God here, every one of us, our speech is inadvertently influenced by the fact that I live where I live. I'm from the South. I'm going to talk from where I'm from. Amen. I remember a missionary one time, and I won't say his name, but boy, he's a praise God, a good man of God. He come preached a revival for us a while back. Man, I'm going to tell you, he's good as gold. Hey, he went to England. Brother, when he came back on a little short tour to get him some funds and all for his missionary, brother, he was talking like one of them folks over there where he was at, amen. I said, look at that boy. He grew up in Ackworth over there in Cobb County, man. He's talking about them like them folks over in England over there. Hallelujah. And so, boy, I thank God. Listen, every one of us, when we begin to realize that you're influenced by wherever or whoever you're around, amen, inadvertently, whoops, uh-oh. But I thank God also, not only inadvertently, but intentionally. It's the second way that we're all influenced, amen. Because I thank God when we're intentionally, this is where you decide for yourself. This is who I will listen to. If I want to be like them, I want somebody that's going to be my example, amen, that's going to influence me. I thank God I've had a lot of godly men and women that have influenced me through the years. But the greatest influence of all time was my godly mother, praise God. And I thank God for her. God rest her soul, but she's where I want to be. But I thank God every one of us talk of that kind of intentional influence, amen. And so I thank God each and every one of us when we go through life, and so the thing that we look at today is what kind of goals do we have, amen? You know, just a little chew the fat, amen. Right now, back at November 22nd, we look and we realize that all the leaders in the world, what's their popularity right now? How would they influence somebody? President Joe Biden, he's looking at right now a 44% approval and a 48% disapproval right now. And that is of a poll that does it somehow, I know that they do it without prejudice of any kind. And so this is back from November the 22nd that this came up. I didn't see one any sooner than that. I think it might be down to like 38 right now. And I'm not saying this to make fun of any of our leaders or even our President Joe Biden, but every one of these leaders, they are influencing somebody in either a good way or a positive way. You know, William Arthur Ward, the American author, said, every person has the power to make others happy. One does it simply by entering a room and another by leaving the room, unquote. You know, I thank God every one of us, when we look at ourselves here in 3 John, we see, I'm reminding you again. Now, I'm doing something to you tonight. Did you catch it yet? Have you caught it? You say, what are you doing, Pastor? I'm trying to influence you. But really, I mean, I don't care what it is. I'm just pulling something on you. Now, watch this. What'd you see? You see, right here's a sneaker, and here's a sneaker. I just put a bunch of sneakers on there. I'm wondering, like, you know, that's how they do advertisements. And these little kids and cartoons and all, they put all this stuff up so many times before you long, it, like, hits you in your brain, you know. And so I've been doing that. Watch to see how many sneakers you see at the bottom. I did that just to pull a little thing. I thought, I'm going to ask you, hey, did you notice? Maybe you didn't. Maybe you didn't. But every one of us, that's exactly how television does things. They do things to try to influence how to choose your influences. And so tonight, this is an urgent aspect of the believer's walk with Christ. This is urgent. This is something that you need to pay attention to and urgently correct in your walk with Christ. And as we look at it tonight, one of the things is, what are they tonight? Who should you choose to help shape the person that you're going to become? Amen. Well, I thank God as we look at this tonight. First of all, you need, as an application, to choose influences who genuinely care about you. Because John writes, now notice, you won't find John's name in 1 John, 2 John, or 3 John. You'll see the elder. But everything of the wording is all of John's word. John, the revelator, amen. And so by this time, as we look and realize of the writing, it talks about choose influences who genuinely care about you. Man, if you pick somebody that really don't have any care for you, you know what? I've been in a class in college, and you know what? Sometimes you'll have a professor that, you know what? They don't really care that much about whether you learn it or not. They just cram it and go. And there's some professors And there's some teachers and faculty that they're so passionate that, man, they're so loving at how they instruct and give the teaching and the information to you. And those people are good as gold. And they're good influences. Choose influences who genuinely care about you. Follow with me when we get into the Word of God, amen. Because look at it tonight. It says in 3 John 1:1, notice everything that I put up. Urgent. This matter requires immediate attention. The elder, he's talking about John, unto the well-beloved. You'll see it about Gaius 4 times in this. The well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, that he talks to us about, amen. And so I thank God. He goes on. Here he was well-loved. Here is somebody, one of the three leaders that was well-loved in the church, amen. He goes on and he tells us, beloved, I wish above all things. Notice he says again, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, and even as thy soul prospereth, amen. Boy, I thank God. Hey, what's he saying? He says, listen, I pray that everything may be well with you, that you may be in good health, as I know that you are well in spirit, he says. And so he goes on. He's talking about he prospered spiritually despite of ill health. What does this mean? And somehow or another we pick up that Gaius, he was a godly leader. He was a great leader, man, but he had bad health. Sometimes you've got leaders that they just do the best they can because sometimes they got bad health and they just go and do and give and give and give and they pour out their heart. But man, after a while, their health pays a price. But I thank God. We go on. He says in verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Amen. Well, I thank God each and every one of us, when we look and realize what is he talking about here? He's telling us he walked in the truth, amen, in verses 3 and in 4. That's the kind of influence you want. You want a pastor. You want a Sunday school teacher. You want a faculty. You want somebody that walks in the truth of what they're sharing, amen. You don't want somebody that gets up and doesn't share what's truthful. But here Gaius was telling the truth, praise God. He was sharing, and so I thank God. He was saying he was happy when some Christians arrived and told him how faithful that you are to the truth, just as you always live in the truth, amen. Now, Gaius walked in the truth, and you'll note two significant facts about that. Gaius, the church leader, had a strong testimony among the believers of the church. Man, you want something like that, praise God. You want that strong testimony that you're born again, praise God. Amen. You know, I thank God that we can't never tell our testimony enough to somebody. Boy, I thank God. I got a man that meets with me coffee every morning. We have us a little time together. And man, we begin to talking about the good old Lord and drink us our coffee to start the day out. And all of a sudden, he motivates me. I think I motivate him. And praise God, Don Poindexter, praise God, brother. Hey, man, we begin to fire these old souls up and get them stirred up and get to going. Hallelujah. And Gaius, he was the church leader that had a strong testimony among the believers of the church. Amen. Boy, don't get no better than that. And Gaius, he brought joy to the hearts of the believers, man. That's what you want. Hey, it ain't all about just getting up and telling a story or a joke all the time. It's about what's in you, amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength, amen. Boy, I thank God. Hallelujah. We could just shout. Boy, I tell you, man, I tell you, get happy and shout all over the place. Praise the name of Jesus, amen. And so every one of us, everyone has had a few folks that, like you said, that are good teachers and bad teachers. But boy, when you get a good teacher that loves you, that wants to influence you in such a positive way, you know what? You just love their class, amen. Every chance you get, you could choose that kind of teacher, amen. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, you know people like that, don't you? Every chance you get, choose the person that brightens the room by coming in, not by going out, amen. And when you seek out some kind of advice, maybe it's financial advice that you're looking for. Hey, you know what? Then find somebody that knows a lot about investments and money and management, praise God, amen. Look for somebody that knows and cares about you, for you, praise God. Someone who's not just trying to make a sale, amen, but who sincerely wants to do something for you that will help you in your finances, amen. And so this determines who you listen to, amen. It works on a spiritual level, amen. And so you read books to find out You listen to messages and sermons, amen. But you know who has the greatest influence on you spiritually? Listen to what I'm fixing to say. The people who love you. Because it is the people who love you. They are the ones that have the most influence on you. Your moms and dads, they love you. They're not going to influence you deliberately in the wrong way, amen. And so even when they speak things that you don't want to hear, you know the words are motivated by love and sincere desire to see you walk worthy in Christ, praise the name of Jesus, amen. And so when you think about who is going to influence your life and your faith and your beliefs and your attitude and your behavior, choose those who have demonstrated that genuinely care about you, praise God. And so I thank God, as he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth, amen. As we said, Gaius walked into truth, praise God. Urgent. There's an aspect for the believer's walk with Christ. Yes, that's right. Get it tonight. Get it that you are being influenced, but you need to check out yourself. And you need to see. Sometimes you're going to have confrontations with people that you're going to have confrontations with. Because just like our bad teacher in here, he was jealous. And, he didn't want to support the missions and missionaries and visiting preachers, amen. And so he thought that they ought to get everything just from him and from his church. You know, there's a lot of conceited, stuck-up pastors, preachers, and men and women out there that think they got it all, amen. And that's exactly this kind of teacher that was one of these tonight, amen. How do you choose your influences, amen, for the believer's walk, amen? First of all, choose the influences who genuinely care about you, verses 1, 2, 3 and 4 of 3 John. But in verses 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, you choose influences who walk the talk. Amen. They walk the talk. Hallelujah. Choose influences who walk the talk. Amen. Boy, I thank God as we're living in discernment today, praise God. In verses 5 through 11, hallelujah. I thank God he tells us in the Word of God tonight. Again, he says, beloved, amen. He says, beloved, talking about Gaius still. Gaius is the conversation piece still, hallelujah. He says, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, amen. Boy, I thank God. Gaius had the right thing. He said, listen, he says, dear friend, you're so faithful in the work that you do for other Christians, even when they are strangers, amen. He's talking about. He goes on, he says he helped Christian believers and strangers, amen. Verses 5, 6, 7, and 8, he's helping them, amen. Gaius is doing what he needs to be doing. He says, which had borne witness of thy charity or love before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. What is he trying to tell us? He says, listen, they've spoken to the church here about your love, Gaius. Woo! Man, have you, boy, you're the real deal. You got to walk with the talk, amen. And so please help them to continue their trip in a way that will please God, because it was all about bringing in and supporting these missions, these traveling preachers and teachers that were good, amen, that came in, praise God. And Gaius says, yes, I'm going to help minister not only the ministry at the church, but I'm going to help the visitor preachers and that are coming in. I'm going to support them. I'm going to give them a chance behind the pulpit. I'm going to let them get up and share their gift and their ministry, praise God, as the local assembly does within their many gifts, that you've got singers that are talented, amen. You got teachers that are talented, amen. And so you use that to your advantage, amen. He helped the Christian believers, amen. And so I thank God as we look and realize tonight, note for now that there's three significant points that we got to remember. Gaius was doing all that he could to help the traveling ministers, amen. He was opening his home. He was supporting them so much so that he had a strong testimony in the ministry of hospitality. Amen. I thank God. Note that he even opened his home to strangers in order to reach and grow them in Christ. Amen. And Gaius is to continue to receive and support the traveling ministers at 3 John verse 6 that he's talking about. Amen. And so it said that this is exactly what God himself would do. Gaius is told that this is the godly way, the godly thing to do, that he's exactly what God would do, and it was what the church leader is to do. He's doing everything that he can to support and do the right thing that was needed to be done. Amen. And so of all of these things, amen, that we see tonight that he's doing, he's saying, look for those who walk the talk and do what they do, amen. That's what John's trying to tell every one of us, amen, that he's telling us. And I thank God as we look at this, he goes on in verse 7, he says, because that for his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles, amen. You see, here we begin to realize that some of the bad things that's fixing to start coming in here, because as we we look for something like this, that he says that he helped Christians believe in strangers. Gaius did all of the things that he could do to help these traveling ministers, amen, that would come into the church, amen, because they needed help right then. You ever saw somebody that needed help? You say, I'll get back to you next week. You know, sometimes, you know what? I don't know about you, but I juggle so much now. I don't even see what I'm able to get done, what I get done, amen, because I've got more responsibility. You say, man, what do you got, amen? My number one priority is taking care of my family, my wife, and that's my number one job, you know? You say, well, you're a pastor. That's right. It might be my, that's on my list, but it may fall off my list because I have to continue to take care of my family, and that's my number one agenda. You see, that pastor takes good care of his church, but he's a lousy husband, amen. You see, home comes first. You got to be able, you know what? Because if you're strong at home, then you'll be strong at church. You've got to be able to be that person there for your family when they need you, amen. And so I thank God. He goes on in verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth that he's talking about. And so I thank God he tells us, you know, here's the bad leaders. You know, here's the bad leaders. You know, there's several times in his letter, Paul makes a rather bold statement. And all that Paul says, and a lot of things that Paul does, and I know this is John's third epistle, but Paul, of all the letters that Paul has written, all the books, amen, there's some things that he just repeats himself. Paul says, I want you to imitate me. I want you to follow my example. I want you to do what I do. Every leader worth his or her salt should be able to say this same thing. I need you to imitate me. Follow my example. But when you're following my example, you're following Christ's example. Do what I do. Amen. And so I thank God as we look, there's some bad leaders that are out there that are bad leaders. I didn't even got to explain all these leaders that are on. They're all bad people. They've all killed people. They've all done things that are bad. Well, guess what? The rotten core of the apple's coming up. Because every one of us, when we look and realize of the things that are going to take place, we realize that there's a lot of things that are going to happen, amen. And so of all of those things that we look and realize that what's fixing to take place of our leaders that are out there right now, amen, of how Gaius is that wonderful one that has done so many things, amen. Gaius, that was the one, the first leader that did so much for the church, amen, because he prospered spiritually despite his ill health, amen. He just kept on going, amen. I thank God, Gaius, he walked in the truth, amen. And so Gaius, he had hospitality, he ministered, he helped with benevolence, he did all of these things. He helped the Christian believers and strangers, amen. But here we're fixing to go into verse 9, and when we go into verse 9, you're going to change the leader, and it's going to come up to another leader. And it's going to be somebody else, somebody that has conflict, and they're conflict ridden. And so Diotrephes is that one that's coming up. And so of all the things that we see, there's six things that were said about Diotrephes as we look at him, amen, in just a minute, amen. But I thank God as we look at that and begin to realize out of these six things about Diotrephes, amen, is that he was conflict ridden. A church leader. He had a lot of problems that he was not a good example, a good influence for somebody to follow. Amen. And so one of the things that we see is that Diotrephes, he was a conflict-ridden leader. He loved recognition. Huh? Wow, man. Give God the glory. He loved to be preeminent, to be first in the church. You know, when somebody gets up and it's all about them and all this, hey, who wants to listen to that? Who wants to... You're getting up and you're supposed to be talking, oh, how many souls got saved while you're under your ministry? No, no, no. Hey, you need to be talking about Jesus. We represent Jesus Christ, amen. I didn't save not a one soul, but I thank God if I can be an influence that they would follow and imitate to go and get Jesus Christ into their life, that's worth it all, amen. And so here, Diotrephes was a conflict leader that he loved recognition. Diotrephes, he rejected ministerial leadership. He didn't do some of the things that he should have been doing as a minister. And we all try to get on. I've had all kind of ministers in my church. Hey, listen, I've had black preachers in my church. I've had all kinds of preachers. I've had preachers that are like teachers. I've had preachers that they could sing when they preached, amen. I've had all kinds of preachers. I ain't never been. Hey, all kinds of preachers are great preachers, amen. Everybody have different styles. They, some of these old-fashioned preachers, they think, hey, you know what? If they ain't rocking a boat and saying this and that they ain't preaching. Hey, you're you know what? You're just trying to kid yourself. You don't have the domination on preaching. Just because you come back up and you got all the preaching from the hellfire and brimstone in the bat sticks, just because somebody preaches and they don't hiccup and do all the other and all that like you think they ought to do. Listen, you step out on the other side of the country and that person, praise God, is the most popular. It ain't about all of your mannerisms and everything, but you take everything. You can listen and get something from every type of preacher, amen. Every kind of teacher, hallelujah. And so here, he rejected the ministerial leadership, amen. Diotrephes, he criticized, he talked about, he censored the minister. Man, this is not a good leader because he's conflict-ridden, amen. The fourthly, Diotrephes opposed those who stood behind the minister. Now, we ain't got into the scripture yet. But in verse 9 is when we start reading about Diotrephes. But I'm giving you a heads up. And so here, he opposed those who stood behind the minister. Diotrephes had to be disciplined. And he was destroying the church. And he had opposed the minister, John, so much that some believers had already left the church. You know, there's some people that do this stuff. You know what? You got to do damage control. They run off more people and you bring in the front door that they're going fast as they can out the back door. Oh, God, help. Man, when you got problems like that, you'll never have a congregation. You'll never have a big crowd because they're the kind of people that run everybody off. And they want nobody come around because they don't want to listen to that. They don't want to, you know. And so Diotrephes, he had to be disciplined. And Diotrephes was not to be followed. This is according to John. This is a strong warning issued by the minister John to not follow that which is evil, but to follow that which is good. There's a lot of ministers out there today, and I'm not trying to paint my feather and my cap or nothing, but I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of folks out there that it's all about them. And you know what? If they don't have the front spotlight and all, they ain't want nothing to do with anything that's going out. It's all got to surround them. It's all got to be about them. There might be, you know what, you got some of the best deacons out there, and it might be that there's a church a leader or a pastor, and he thinks it's got to be all about him. Maybe it's a deacon. Maybe it's all about him. Maybe it's all about the choir director. It's all about him or her, amen. That ain't how it ought to be in the house of God, 3 John's trying to tell us. No, these are the things that I'm giving you a heads up on because here we get into the Word of God, amen. And here we begin to realize that he tells us in verse 9, he says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence, he's the big shoddy of them, the preeminence among them receiveth us not. Can you imagine? He tried to get in and help minister, but no. Ain't nobody going to let him get in the door, Diotrephes. Now, he ain't let nobody come in. And so the conflict-ridden church leader from verse 9 all the way down to verse 11 is about Diotrephes, the rotten core apple in the middle. I tell you. And so what was the problem with Diotrephes? He had a problem with ministry. He had a problem with hospitality. And he had a problem with benevolence. Amen. And so I thank God. This is the second time I'm showing you this. That's how important it is. I showed this a while ago. And so there were some in the church who did not like the idea of traveling ministers visiting and holding meetings in their church, which was Diotrephes. They were opposed to any kind of minister or ministry that was not settled within the church itself. That was Diotrephes. They did not, therefore, want the traveling evangelists, missionaries, prophets, and teachers preaching and teaching in their church. Boy, I'm going to tell you know what? Sometimes that's some of the best ministry that goes on. Hey, where you at over there, Brother Jody Cagle? Where you at, Tim Turnip Seed? Hallelujah. Hey, all these good men and women of God out there, amen. You got these women that come in and sing, praise God. Deborah Turnip Seed, praise God, hallelujah. Hey, God, they bless you, church. They bless your ministry, praise God. And so, hallelujah, 3 John's trying to tell us, praise his name. He said, what was the problem? He says, they saw no use for their ministry. Ain't that something? They felt that believers could learn all they needed to know from their own ministers and from others in the settled ministry. No. They went on. I thank God that they did not need help in the reaching out of the lost. We all need help in ministry, praise God. That they could carry out the mission of Christ without the help of traveling ministers. Now, we go on in the reading of the Word of God. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth. John's giving it down the warning, brother. He said, it's urgent. He says, it's urgent. This matter requires immediate attention. Amen. He says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember this his deeds, triathophes, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words and not content therewith, neither doeth himself receive the brethren and forbidden them that would and careth them out, casteth them out of the church, the conflict-ridden church leader. Oh, God help us. We'll get to verse 11. He says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. And so there's a lot of leaders like that that's out there. That man, I'm going to tell you, because when we go, watch John saying, he's saying, look for those who walk the talk and do what they do. And several times, as I said, in Paul's letters, even though we're talking about John and John's third John, Paul says, imitate me, follow my example, do what I do. Amen. Now, I thank God. Listen, if you ain't never know who this guy is, Drew Manning was an individual trainer. And one of the things that he did, Drew Manning was, is that he deliberately put on 70 pounds of weight. And what he did is he went online and he says, listen, if you've got weight on you, then follow me and I want you to do what I do. I want you to follow me. And in 6 months, he was back in tip-top shape and he showed people how to follow him. He influenced them how to eat right, how to exercise right. And here in the middle, he's put on 70 pounds deliberately so that he could go back and take the people that he was teaching about how, as a trainer, to eat right, to train right, to be healthy. He put on 70 pounds, Drew Manning did, and he went back and he worked every bit of that off from the beginning how he was till he got just in as good a shape as he was from the beginning because he taught those people and he showed them this person practices what he preaches. You see, in this life, what do we hear in words? You know, have you ever heard that poem, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day? I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. Have you heard that poem? The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example's always clear. But the best of all preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see good put in action is what everybody needs. I thank God. But I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. I thank God. For I might understand you and the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, St. Francis of Assisi, he said, preach at all times, if necessary, use words, unquote. Look for people who preach with their actions, amen. And so I thank God, each and every one of us. And so thirdly, as we come to the believer's walk, urgently, we come to the believer's walk. How do you choose your influences, amen? Well, you choose influences who genuinely care about you, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. You choose influences who walk the talk in verses 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. But lastly, how to choose your influences. Number 3, application. Choose influences with a good reputation, amen. Living in discernment, praise God. Living in discernment. And so I thank God. What did he tell us in the Word of God? He says, Demetrius, here's the second good leader. Gaius, now you got Demetrius following up at the end. Woo, he's a godly man. Praise his name. Praise his holy name. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. He says, the godly leader who stands in the truth is what he's talking about. Praise God. He's got a good reputation. Amen. Well, I thank God. A person's reputation gives them credibility. And there are times when we've all seen it happen, when a person's reputation is either better than or worse than his real character. But most of the time, a person's reputation is what they've earned. Not all of the time. There are exceptions, to be sure, but most of the time, this is true. And that's why Paul, in his letter to Timothy, that a leader must have a good reputation with outsiders, because most of the time, the reputation of a person has is a reputation that they've earned. And so, note three strong facts about Demetrius. Demetrius had a strong testimony among all the believers. Few leaders had a dynamic testimony among all, but this church leader did. He was held in the highest esteem by God's people. They respected him ever so highly, amen. Demetrius had a strong testimony for walking in the truth, amen. And Demetrius was highly, excuse me, I went too fast. Demetrius was highly esteemed by other leaders, amen. That's somebody that really says something good, amen. And so I thank God. He says in verse 13, I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. You know what John's saying? I'm coming face to face, and I'm fixing to get this right. I'm fixing to get this straight. This needs face-to-face attention, because we're going to have to take care of Diotrephes because of his type of leadership that is so conflict-ridden. And so every one of us, as Solomon said, a good name is more desirable than great riches. Why is that? Because a good name is harder to earn and harder to hang on to. And so when someone over the course of time has maintained good reputation and is well spoken of by good people, you can put a lot of stock in what they say. Either I use the example of how that you go and you find somebody that has a good reputation. Amen. This applies to employers, employees, and leaders in the church. Take a look at all of the people that have earned great reputations. Amen. And so they've done wonderful things. Amen. Each and every one of us, as we look and realize that in conclusion, the problem is the church was so severe that the minister John needed a personal visit. And that's exactly urgent. This matter requires immediate attention in the Christian's walk. I thank God. Lastly, he says, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Amen. And so I thank God. He says this involves an urgent, immediate attention and a personal meeting that I'm coming to visit, John is saying. And so you know what? Henry Ford said, you can't build reputation on what you're going to do. Amen. And so every one of us, life is far too complicated for us to make it all the way on our own. We need leadership. We need examples to follow. We need teachers and coaches to train us and motivate us. You know what? My life is changed drastically because not only do I have to, my number one agenda is to take care of my family at home. And you know what? I hope that your family's taking care of you. You know what? As a pastor, I try to do everything I can. But you know what? Your family's number one job is to take care of each other. You know what? And my job is to spiritually feed you. And I'm trying my best to do that. And doing all I can. But we've had a tremendous loss these past years through all of our church, like all of the other churches. Every day I'm hearing about somebody passing away. And you know what? It's sad because of these times that we're in. But we've got to keep pressing on. But right now I'm ministering more than I've ever ministered before in my life. And things are going forward that I stay busy for the Lord. Hopefully that'll keep me out of trouble. But also that I'm not just busy, but that I'm influencing somebody the correct way. The question is, listen, we will all be influenced by others, but the question is, will you be unconsciously influenced or intentionally influenced? Huh? You know it? So will you just be a product of your surroundings and your culture and the people who happen to be around you in any given moment? Or will you choose who you will listen and who will shape your way of thinking and doing? You see, I favor Charles Stanley. I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna tell you, Charles Stanley, you'll find hard out there anybody else. Of course, they're great too, I'm sure, who you listen, but you can't beat Charles Stanley because his reputation speaks for itself. His books, his life speaks for itself. And so I thank God, every one of us, choose whom you will allow to speak into your life. Look for those who care about you. Look for those who walk the talk. Look for those who have earned a good name. Amen. And when you meet people who fit this criteria, listen to their words. Learn to follow their example. Hey, young preacher, are you looking for somebody to follow? Hey, look for somebody that's got the criteria. Look for those that care about you. Look for those who walk the talk. Look for those who have earned a good name, amen. Not just because they got the biggest church and they got the biggest this and this and that. No, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be times when you run into some people like Diotrephes. Diotrephes, the right and core apple of the center of the three between Gaius and Demetrius. Diotrephes, you're going to run into some people like them that they're stuck on themselves. And you know what? You're going to run into confrontation because of the way they are. Number one, analyze yourself. Before you confront your offender, examine your own life to see if there are issues you need to correct in your own heart or matters you need to get right with other people. Secondly, ASAP, immediately, attention first. Attention should be given to the problem as soon as possible. If there is something that there is a confrontation with, you need to be looking at that very quickly. Because is it something that you've done, or is it just somebody that is a confrontational purpose person, just like Diotrephes is, huh? Thirdly, affirm your concern for that person. Whoever you confront needs to know up front that you have an interest in his or her life. You mean it for the best, that you are wanting to help them. You have a concern for that person if it's a confrontation that you're having. Fourthly, articulate the specific problem and ask that question. State the specific reason why you're meeting with that person with respect, calmness, and kindness. Fifthly, address the action or activity without attacking that person. Once you have confirmed the facts, focus on the specific action of that offender that you're trying to resolve without attacking that person. Amen. And then six, look at ability of that confrontation. When you confront that individual, look at that ability and deal only with matters that can be changed. If you ask someone to change or stop something that can't be stopped, then the person, they're going to become frustrated. They're going to become resentful. Nothing is going to be solved because a solution is going to be impossible, I think. But we look. But also, we realize, seventhly, to avoid as well a sarcasm. Avoid sarcasm because it reveals your anger with that person. Avoid using words like always or never. You always do this, or you never do that, are usually unproductive statements because as you avoid that, they make people defensive and they tend to be inaccurate. Don't tell the person what they are thinking. You don't. Speak to one issue at a time, and then when you confront, avoid a list of offenses. And if there are other problems, deal with them at a later date. You do not want to overwhelm the person with a big list of problems or give him or her the impression that you're ganging up on him or her. Attacking that person or accusing him or her puts him or her on the defensive, and it tends to choose him or her up, close them up, and they clam up emotionally, and nothing gets solved when this happens. And so alternatives should be provided as well. Now, thank God, if a problem can be fixed, provide ideas and solutions. Alternatives should be provided to help with that confrontation. Help them succeed. Help her succeed. Help her or him grow. Help her or him solve the matter. Help them get out. Amen. Do something. Don't just lay all the problems there on them. Amen. And then affirmation. Be sure to end up your meeting by affirming the good things that a person does. Amen. Encourage them in the good things they do, that you want them to continue that behavior close in a word of prayer, that there are matters that still need to be resolved or checked out, and then ask the person for permission to meet again in order to talk some other at a later time, amen, because you're going to run into some Diotrephes that are confrontational, and they're all stuck on themselves, and you know, it ain't about you to fix everything. But if you run across their path and you can one-on-one get along with them, praise God. Listen, tonight, we've got to live in discernment. And each and every one of us have a task at hand to do and to go forward, amen. I'm glad that all of us have something that we can do. It was Norman McGowan, who was the valet or servant of Sir Winston Churchill, that he shared a story about the fact that it was Churchill's standing order that when he returned by train from a trip, that his dog Rufus was always to be out there to meet Sir Winston Church here and to let his leash go and let him run to Sir Winston Church here when he got off the train. And so one day Norman happened to be standing close by Mr. Church here, and Rufus ignored his master and he came leaping all over Norman. Oh my goodness, of course, Sir Winston loved Rufus too much to blame his dog. Instead, he turned to Norman with a hurt look and he said quietly, he said, "In the future, Norman, I would prefer you stay in the train until I said hello to Rufus." You know, he wanted all the attention. He wanted to be the one that was there. Churchill wanted to be the first to greet his dog and have all the attention from his pet. And that was important to him, amen. There are many folks like this today that you'll meet them as you journey through life. They want to be the first and they want to have all the attention of others. And they are pretty stingy about sharing things too. You'll find them in school classrooms, on sports teams out there, in government, in churches, in family, among your children or your brothers and sisters. Amen. Some folks will do just about anything to gain attention, to be first, to be in the limelight, because popularity is the only thing that really matters to them. They lie, they cheat, steal, gossip, slander, sabotage, reputation, indulge in drugs, drunkenness, even in sexual immorality in order to gain favor, popularity, or acceptance that they crave from people they consider to be important to them. They suffer from what they call the diatrophies disposition. What is that? Here from 3 John, as John provides the answers, we look at the behavior of someone that you ask yourself if you have the same traits and behavior. If you do, you've got the diatrophies disposition. And it's not a good thing to have for sure, because the sooner you change this kind of behavior, the better off you and those around you will be. As John begins this, he talks about our intimate friendship. And I thank God as John end up as the last of this, he had to come and he had to do some damage control. I hope and pray that at your church, that if you run into people like this, that you can recognize who will you let influence you in the ways. And I hope and pray that you got something from the Word of God tonight. Because this is Pastor Darrell Bailey saying you can preach a better sermon with your life than you can with your lips. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for the Word. Thank you for the prayers that have been lifted up tonight for the needs of People's Valley Baptist Church. Lord, we don't know how much longer we'll be there, but Lord, until how long you want us to, if we can, if our health and Lord, our wife, if we keep doing it, Lord, help us. But Lord, if not, Lord, we just pray your will be done. And now, Lord, I pray, God, that you would bless us all. May we continue to do our very best for each and every one. And Lord, we thank you for all. We thank you for the great privilege of being in the position and to have what we do. We take it serious and we take nothing for granted, Father. We thank you for all the good people at People's Valley Baptist Church. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, tonight, may we send this message out to every one of them through the truth and the power that, as Paul said, imitate me, do as I have done, follow my example. And all of this, we give glory and honor to Jesus Christ. Amen.